have argued to the death that sales is better than marketing. Now, it's not true. The marketing makes the sales so much easier. So that was a huge skill.
The main intention of today is to help unpack what helped our absolute beautiful friend here, Zach, create a business that went from like, it was like 10 grand a month or something like that, up to we're peaking at about 50K monthly recurring, probably in the next 3 or 4 days from what you were suggesting at the same time as well.
Yeah, we're at 49,330 right now. So there's about 12, 15 in the pipeline that could close any day. So we'll hit 50, 60. Who knows what we'll hit this month?
Not a terrible place to be.
I'm all right with it.
Not a terrible place to be at all. So the really cool thing about this as well is for anyone who doesn't know what we do, we coach agency owners, business consultants, anyone who helps another business actually fix a really strong problem in their business to do like two or three really, really clear things. Number one is fix inconsistent sales, so that they don't have these up and down revenue months and all sort of stuff. Get the offer in out of the day-to-day so they're not stuck trying to do all the delivery and all sort of stuff. And then get them the leadership skills that they need to actually lead a team to actually succeed, whether they are there or not. And what's really cool is I think that you've achieved almost all three now. You know, sales inconsistency isn't something that we have anymore, which is awesome. You're out of the day-to-day completely. And now we're just driving. And I think, honestly, you're on pace to hit 100 by the end of the year, I think, right? Which is really, 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 really cool. And I guess today, what I'd love to do is probably do a little bit of a recap just for yourself as to like what skills you had to acquire to actually make it happen for yourself, and go through what challenges you might have experienced and help everyone sort of understand what it is that it sort of takes to be able to create it and what you might have to overcome and all sort of stuff as well. And I guess for anyone who's sort of watching live, just hit us with a live in the comment section. If you have questions that you would like to actually ask Zach as we go through this, feel free to do that. If you're gonna ask me some questions, please feel free to do that too. But Zach, dude, thank you for coming to catch up today. How are you doing anyway? And how's the week been for you, dude?
Yeah, it's been good, man. We biggest week this week has been bigger than our biggest month. So it's and like I said, it's a chance we're gonna add another couple. So excited. I really like where we are. This is something I'm wanted to hit on, but for me, I'm really excited right now because I had turned off the marketing to build a team, like you kind of hit on. Mm-hmm. And I just turned the marketing back on about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And within a couple of weeks, I just proved the concept to myself again. So I've gone from, you know, when you're not marketing, I wasn't getting a ton of engagement, a ton of conversations, but I just turned it back on and instantly, like within a couple of weeks of some consistency, it was kicking back. And I mean, we'll see what the summer brings, but it's going to be pretty cool. So it was just fun to see that the second round, it happened. First one, it took a little while. I had to learn some stuff. The second one, it was within a couple of weeks. So it was pretty cool.
So let's go into the learning then, right? Like, I think when you first started with us, you guys was it like 10 or 12 grand a month?
Yeah, we were up and down. So we'd have a 17 and then we'd fall to a 12. So it always felt like we were taking one step forward, two steps back. I was just servicing everybody. So anybody that would get on a sales call with me, you know, I was networking a lot and then I was getting a lot from Upwork. So literally just whatever SEO type stuff I could get, I was doing. We were doing a lot of the fulfillment ourselves mm-hmm. because there was no consistency. I didn't know when people were going to drop, all that stuff. So to make money, to make ends meet, I was doing a lot of I was writing content. Like I was working for an agency writing content, which is crazy to me now, but I had to do, that's where we were at the time.
So what are you guys selling now?
Yeah, so we've niched down into a real estate, a sub-niche within real estate. So we work with investors that buy properties.
Okay, cool. And you guys still do just purely SEO for these guys for the most part?
Yeah, we one avatar, one offer. So it's SEO.
What do you guys typically charge on a monthly basis for that as well? Just so anyone can understand.
Yeah, we're at 3,000 right now. And my gut says we need to be at 3,500. So we just moved to 3,000 a couple months ago. And I'm thinking that I haven't reached the top of the market yet. I got people still saying yes. So might need to push it a little bit more. But cool. That's where we are right now.
Probably gives everyone a bit of a background as like what you guys are actually selling all sort of stuff too, right? But like you said, you had those inconsistent sales months all sort of stuff as well. And you sort of led into this end that you guys are like 49,300. Or something like that right now, and you've got like 15 in the bank ready to go. Mm-hmm. Bank meaning pipeline, let's just call it that. I guess what skills do you think were missing that you didn't have that might have been holding you back or keeping you back from getting up to that now, right? Like if you were going up and down and now you're pretty pretty consistent. Like, what do you think was missing skill-wise that was stopping you from being able to actually do that consistently?
Yeah, so there's a couple conversations that come to mind in the past, which are funny to me. I remember there was a coaching call where you were talking about like something like dictatorship sales, like where it's just brute force, like hammer and nail. And I was like, I'm not any good at sales. Like, I am just beating on people. And some people say yes, and most don't. And I just move along and I take a lot of reps. But that, I realized that I was not as good at sales as I thought I was. I had to relearn. I had never been taught a pipeline. I had never been taught to nurture these leads. I cut my teeth knocking doors. Like, and it's just, you knock the door and you move on, and you get thick skin and you move on. So that building the pipeline, that, marketing, I'm a marketer. I would have argued to the death that sales is better than marketing. Now it's not true. The marketing makes the sales so much easier. So, that was a huge skill. It turns out I love it. Like, I love the marketing aspect. It's easy. It's fun. And like, when you're talking to a problem, you get to the point where people feel like you know them. Like, I have people like talking to me like they know me, and I'm like, I just put out some Facebook posts. Like, it's pretty cool. It makes the process, the sales process, a lot easier. So that was a big one. Realizing, you know, the humility to realize, hey, my sale, maybe I need to figure out what this discovery process is about. Not just be on everyone like a hammer and a nail. And then, I didn't know anything about marketing. Like, we joke sometimes, like, I was as green could get, and I didn't realize it. It was just like,
this is marketing for yourself though, right? Not for your clients.
Yeah, for us. Our marketing for our clients is dialed in and has been for a while. I knew that we had, like, our SEO is good, but it was attracting, you know, a marketing for me, attracting people to me. It was non-existent. So.
Right. And I guess it sounds like the two main levers that you pulled on for skill-wise were just like actually understanding how to uncover problems in the sales process. But what it kind of sounded like you were suggesting is that you actually started marketing problems, and that made the sales process even easier by the sounds of it.
Yeah. So I mentioned talking about their pain, talking about their problems. And that's, you know, when you start talking about people's problems and then you offer a solution and you build some authority and credibility behind your profile, your Facebook group, whatever it is, they start looking to you like you have answers and you have solutions to their problems.
Could you possibly give me an example of what marketing tool pain point for SEO, for the thing that you like that you guys are selling, that made a big difference for generating inbound lead flow for the people that you guys actually wanted to speak to, might have been for you in particular?
Yeah, so we have started talking about finding deals with 50,000 plus margins, and everybody in the space talks about distressed leads, motivated sellers, that's fine. That's the jargon that they use. But now that I've tapped into, hey, what's the, they need more leads. They know that, but what do they actually want? So I'm speaking to solving the real problem that they want to solve. So I'm going a layer deeper than I was in the past. Than most people are. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So it kind of sounds like instead of just going for the pain point, you're going for the motivation behind the pain point.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, talking about those pain, there's different segments to marketing as we all know. So that's one part of it. Another part of it is just speaking to the pain and like through storytelling and things like that. When you start getting on calls, you have stories to tell, and then you tell the stories, and then the people that have the same problems attract to you. And when you get that dialed in, then you start, I mean, it's just a cycle and it's just a circle. It just keeps working off of itself. So, you know, different avenues of marketing, different styles of posts and things like that will help attract different people and catch different people's attention. I know when I first started, I was dogging on one of the big guys in this space. And I remember you and I chatted about if I should do that or not. But I landed a couple of deals from it just because it hit pain. Like, it was a very real problem that people were experiencing, and they needed a solution to it. And when everyone else is saying, hey, look at me, I'm an SEO company. And I'm saying, you know, you can't get leads, you can't find deals, you can't whatever we're talking about. You look different than the other guys.
You kind of get inside their mind already. Like, you get inside the things that they're actually thinking about, because they're not usually thinking about SEO. They're usually thinking about like whatever the solution of SEO would solve for them as the problem that they're actually sitting there trying to deal with on a daily basis, right? That's good. It's good insight. And I guess you mentioned you had that like up and down sales inconsistency and all that stuff as well, right? Like, how long had that been going on for you when you had sort of turned up in outdoor?
That was about 2 years, man. I think the highest month we ever had, that was 20 and change, but that was like once, and then it mm-hmm. fell off immediately. We actually ended a client, Morgan & Morgan, that national law firm. We had them mm-hmm. for a couple months, and they were a whale. But once they dropped, I mean, it just, we never got back to it.
And I guess, did that have, like, because you guys didn't have all that dialed in, right? Like, what impact did that guys have to the sales, and even to you guys personally as well, right?
Yeah, so we're running around just chasing whatever, just wearing ourselves out, trying to eat, trying to just stay alive, like trying to cover. I mean, when I'm saying we weren't making any money, like I have a partner and we were both trying to make $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we were scraping by because we were just chasing whatever. We didn't have, every single time somebody came across my desk, I had to go do thorough research on that niche, on that company, on that keyword research, like everything. I had to go do everything over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, brand new every single time. Spending a lot of time chasing, felt like a firefighter, you know, just not prioritizing the sales process. So anytime somebody sends me an email, going off and doing whatever they want me to, whenever they wanted me to, just different stuff like that, that really felt like a firefighter versus, you know, attracting people to us.
What had you guys tried to actually fix the sales inconsistency in the past?
Yeah, so I bought into 3 coaching programs before this. All of them have their, you know, benefits. A lot of good information. Like, I learned a lot. But the first one was Legion. So I was trying to be one of those Legion bros. I didn't have the money to invest to get the websites, and it was taking too long. So mm-hmm. we just couldn't. I didn't have any assets to sell. They weren't producing anything.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we tried to do was the same thing with Google Ads. So we tried to supplement those websites with Google Ads.
Mm-hmm.
Burned through, I don't know what it was, 10 grand a couple years ago. Throughout a couple months trying to run Google Ads. I was cold calling contractors. I hated it. I hate cold calling. I was never, when I was knocking doors, I didn't think I was good at it. When I was cold calling contractors, I didn't think I was good at it. But that was the second thing. And the third one was Upwork. And that's how we got to that 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I did land some good clients on Upwork, and we got some good consistency. Once I built my profile up to, it was like 150,000 or something over 12 months. So, I mean, we started to get to a point where, you know, we weren't ever having months where we were at like 3,000, but it would, you know, we had a couple and we fluctuate between like 8 and 20.
And what, like, because it sounds like everything you did with those were good, but
mm-hmm.
what was sort of missing from those that was this is the fix, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So again, I was just chasing, like I was just desperate. Like I was just taking whatever was in front of me. I wasn't being proactive. I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't know marketing my company. Again, when I say we're doing SEO, like the technical SEO is good, but that doesn't mean I had an understanding of marketing
mm-hmm.
as a whole. And when I started to learn that, and what really changed for me is I saw some other people doing some of the stuff that you were talking about. And I saw, for instance, I saw a girl that isn't in this or anything like that, but she sold, her husband was a chiropractor, and she mm-hmm. sold like 60 websites at like $5,000 a pop in 6 months with a Facebook group. And I was like, what the heck is this? And then I stumbled across this niche, and I got referred to like 5 different guys. So suddenly I woke up and I had 6 wholesaling accounts, and I'm like, okay, I can sit here for a minute. And then I ran into you, and it was like, hey, look at some of your competitors. And I see like 3 or 4 guys in the space doing the same thing. And they've all monetized their groups. I'm like, okay, so he can teach me this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a skill. Learn that. And then if you want to get like deeper, it gets back to the, you know, linking their problems to an offer and being that problem solver. And yeah, that's, you know, kind of what got my attention from the beginning, seeing other people's success, and then seeing you like, hey, you want to get here? Because I always said I wanted to get 100,000. Like, that was our calling card, right? 100,000. That's what everybody says. $100,000 a month. How? I am going to want it, really. Like, I really want it. That's how. It's like,
right.
I knew that wasn't going to work, but.
Yeah. And it kind of just sounds like, there was the skills that were missing, but just like how to market your own company effectively and in a way that actually brought someone in that already wanted what you were selling almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of just going out there talking about SEO, talking about the things that they wanted solved on a daily basis, which just probably made them feel a little bit more comfortable speaking to you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
So you guys are up at like 50 grand monthly recurring now. You guys have a solid team on as well. Like you've got Omar, who we keep forgetting exists some days, right? But he's out there just making sure the clients get great results. Yeah. But so that's amazing. And I guess like for you, now that you have the team on board, now that you have marketing cranking, now that you have like a fairly solid sales process and all sort of stuff as well, right? Like what do you think the breakthrough moments were for you, right? Like for you in particular, what do you think they were?
So when I think about that, it's a fun question to think about. I remember that call that I alluded to earlier where I was like, I'm not any good at sales. And you said something, you're like, Chris said, I'm not a good salesman. I'm just really good at marketing. And I was like, what? Like, are you lying to me? Like, what are you talking about, dude? And then you explained it. And I was like, oh my goodness. And that made a lot of sense. We went to that event in Vegas a couple months back with some of the guys, and me and you were nose to nose, and I was pretty, I was just wrestling, right? Just animated and trying to figure some stuff out. And we were talking about journeys and customer.
Obviously, when we were working at your customer journey.
Yeah, customer journey.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sitting here and I'm like, there's a disconnect. I'm frustrated. I'm not getting it. And it was just a new idea that I just had to work through. And by the, you know, a couple of weeks later, Ferris had worked with us on implementing some of the stuff for that client success. I just handed that to my client success manager. This month was the first round of hiring him. Nice. And he looked at me and he was like, dude, this is awesome. And I'm like,
what did you guys, just for anyone listening, like what did you guys build out with Ferris, and what part, even though we went nose to nose, right, with that customer journey build out, right? Because like that's a pretty imperative part of making sure that the client success manager can like genuinely succeed. But when you have this is just my opinion, right? When you have the customer journey really well dialed in, your customer success people can fucking crush it. Mm-hmm. But not only that, like that then becomes the place where you take all your marketing from, right? So what part did you find it's played the most in that? And like, how do you pick your marketing from? It might be a good question as well, so that you can make sure that the marketing that you put out there and the calls that you get actually speak directly to what your client success manager is going to be delivering on. So it's just like this fucking great conveyor belt, right?
Right. So the second part of that, I don't entirely have that dialed in yet. So I'm not just going to say something that I don't necessarily have figured out yet. But we did, through some of our calls with Kane, he's like, you were future pacing so well there, and they were just eating it up. And to be honest with you, I didn't realize that I was.
How do you mean by future pacing? Just for anyone listening.
So if I'm, so with what we do, if we're 3-4 months into the project, I know it's going to be that 3 to 6 month is a grind phase. If I can get them to stick, they'll make money. But sometimes that first 6 months is a grind. So I was future pacing to what this will look like. I was comparing different markets that we've had success in with the markets that we were working in, and just showing similarities, showing them what the business owner looked like. Mm-hmm. That got the success, the results that they wanted. He was like, that is really, really good, man. And that was what you and me and Ferris and Omar, all of us figured out. What are these different phases? What do we need to do in month one? We need to touch them more. We need to talk to them more. We need to communicate more. We need to set some expectations. And then month, you know, 2 through 6, it looks like this. Month 6 through 12 looks like this. And month 12 on looks like this. And then always being able to see those landmines, help them sidestep them. And then I guess to your point, I kind of have some of it figured out. You know, we write marketing to the landmines and mm-hmm. what the people want to avoid, which I guess is what your question was. When he said, he was like, dude, this is awesome. He's like, I think I'm going to be able to do this better than you can. And I'm like, let's go. Like, yes, that is what I'm talking about, baby. Like right. That's why you're here. Like, I want him to run with that. And I want him to be able to have the training, the tools, the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've illuminated his path. So he's not just out there trying to figure it out.
Let's possibly stick with that for 2 seconds before we move on though, right? Like you mentioned the future pacing element, right? And how pivotal that is to retaining your clients. Because if you have, like, if you run a service where you know there's a period of time where there isn't going to be a great result, like SEO, or I know even things like YouTube ads are like that. I also know that even like Facebook organically sometimes can take a while if you don't have an audience, all sort of stuff too, right? It's like, if you can sell them on the future, but let them know where the landmines might be, plus show them what the progress would look like in between now and then, their ears perk up and they start seeing value in what you're doing anyway, right? And you when you do the future pacing, do you also put that into your marketing now too?
Yeah, I'm starting to. Again, this is when I say this is new, like last week he pointed it out and I knew I was doing it, but I didn't realize the impact that it had. And it was just a dot was connected for me on that. So I'm going to start speaking to it more, but that's very much so. One of the things I love about you guys is I can see y'all do what you're teaching. Like there's a lot of coaches that do one thing and teach another. And I can, when I'm looking now that I am where I am, when I look, hey, what we're working on, bringing on this client success manager, the next step, getting my marketing to where I can bring on a setter that can succeed. Mm-hmm. So I look to like what y'all are doing, like what are they doing when they're trying to fix this problem? And then I see the path and I see like what you guys are doing and where you're going. And then I take that and I implement something similar back into my business. I was pumped when I saw you closing me using the exact same system that you were teaching.
Mm.
And it didn't feel like a close. It felt like you were solving a problem that I said that I had, which is exactly what we were doing and exactly what we do now and are teaching our guys to start to do.
It's nice, man. I think the thing that sticks out to me more than anything else there is like, it feels to me that the way that you guys are marketing now yourselves, based on the conversations that we've had, put you in a position where the people who turn up on calls with you also feel like they're actually there to solve a problem, not to be sold as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me just makes it a lot much better experience, in my opinion, for you guys. Because forget me, like if someone hops into a call with me, like that's awesome. I want them to feel like there's a problem to be solved, but I want that experience for them more than for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can actually have people who genuinely have that feeling on a daily basis, then life just becomes a much easier journey in business anyway, if that makes sense, right? So that's really cool. And I know we had a pretty deep chat about the setting stuff yesterday too, so that's exciting. When you first started, right, like you might have changed a little bit as a human. And I guess like in order for you to go from 10 to 50K, right, like was there something that needed to change within you? Did you need to sort of like, who did you need to become to be able to do it? Because I think something that holds a lot of people back is like they have they're set in their ways and stuff, right? Like who did you need to become to be able to actually start creating something that's like a 600K per year business right now? Just for context, just remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of the sticky ideas that are still in front of my face every day is me to we. Detached from the outcome. And those two things, those ideas are big, but that I needed to not care so much. And I needed to see myself on the same team as the client, as my prospect. And when I came, I cared too much and I was defensive and aggressive. And that's just not a good look on a salesman.
This is more in a sales environment. And you're suggesting that me versus we is the thing. So for anyone out there who might not understand what that is, do you just want to give a quick description of the differences?
Yeah. So me would be like us sitting at a table face to face. Like I want you to cave to what I want. Like I want to convince you that I'm right. You want to convince me that you're right. And it's very combative. Mm-hmm. We is we're sitting on the same side of a table, having a conversation with the problem on the other side of the table. So we're trying to come up or shoulder to shoulder on the same team, trying to come up with a solution mm-hmm. to fix that problem is my understanding of the idea.
Yeah. And essentially puts you in a position where you guys, call it a sales call, whatever it is, right? It's not like objections don't come up and you're not sitting there like having this, like, no, you should buy my stuff. No, you shouldn't. It's not like this combative situation. It's more like, no. We're both here because we both understand that there's a third party in the room right now and it's mm-hmm. the problem, right? And if we work together well as a team, then we can attack the problem together, get the outcome that you want, make sure that we get what we need and make sure that everyone wins and start the relationship off in a notion where you guys are a team as opposed to like forcing someone into a sale, which happens a lot.
Right.
Which just creates like churn. Huge churn. Okay, cool. So that kind of sounds like you had to have like a bit of an identity shift on calls.
Yeah. Like I said, I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, you're not any good at sales. And I learned what the discovery process was and mm-hmm. I implemented that into, I mean, the offer linking stuff, the discovery stuff. Like I use it for my marketing. I use it for bringing on team members. I use it for my sales calls. I use it for everything. I use it with my wife. Like I use it, like, I caught myself the other day. Like I offer like something and it was so smooth. And you know, sometimes you can like, you're like your spouse will be like, don't work, like don't practice on me, like don't work, like you're not, don't sell me, I'm not your client. No one in the room knew what I was doing. I was like, I knew, and I was like, that's smooth, dog, like that's very good.
I was chatting with Kyle yesterday, and I was like, yo dude, if you want to learn how to probe and clarify effectively, just start asking your girlfriend what she means by what she's saying. Like, what do you mean by that? She'll feel great because she'll be able to get what she needs off her chest. Yeah. And you'll be able to actually practice your sales skills at the same time.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
So we're just saving relationships and helping people make money. What were some of the unexpected challenges that you faced in the journey, and what did you do to get through them as well?
So I've kind of already hit on what I would say the two most two challenges I didn't expect. I didn't expect to come into this and say I'm not a good salesman.
Just for context, that is probably one of the most normal things that people experience. I think every person I've ever been in a call with has said I'm really good at sales. I'm like, I'm just like,
Yeah. What you did to me, and you were kind about it, and you never looked at me and said you're not a good salesman. But I mean, through the coaching and working with Jake and the different call reviews and things like that, it was very, very obvious. Like, no one needed to say it. Don't need to kick the wounded dog, but y'all lifted me up as well, which the second thing was I would have argued sales over marketing all day long.
Right.
And now I would argue the opposite. And what got me through those things, there was 1 week, man, there will be times where nobody gets on those group calls except for one or two people. So then, I get an hour and a half of Jake or Chris or whoever it is. There was 1 week I had a call with Ferris. Nobody was on the Tuesday call. Nobody was on the Thursday call. And I had the call review with Jake. So it was like 4.5-5 hours of one-on-one coaching from you guys, just because I was showing up to those calls and asking questions. And when I look at some of the other coaching programs that I've worked with, a lot of good content, a lot of great content, some good Facebook groups and some good community. But I've always wanted that high level, like guys that are doing it, guys that are, just killers that are looking at me, not just teaching me, but like we'll pull reviews and like you'll go through like conversations and you'll be like, why'd you say this? Why'd you say that? I would have said this. Jake will review sales calls and he'll ask me. I haven't done one in a while, but the last one a few months ago is like, so what part do you want to look at? And I said, such and such. He's like, okay, discovery. Let's go to discovery. And I'm like, oh, the answer is probably always discovery.
The answer usually is discovery. Yeah.
And
like on top of 10.
Yeah. But that was a cool, like it clicked for me. Cause it was like, I want to go look at objection. And he's like, okay, we're going to go to discovery. And I'm like, All right. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. So those coaching calls, and then the monthly, I mean, we talk to Ferris every week and then once a month on a call. And it's just invaluable. It's like I said, y'all are doing the same thing that I'm doing now with my clients. Like I didn't know what a client success manager was. Like I was barely doing that at myself. Like I was skipping calls. I was skipping meetings. It wasn't important to me.
You were skipping all of that.
Yeah. It wasn't important to me. And then I realized what it was and the purpose behind it. And I was like, oh, this is super important. And I mean, so important that we brought that on before a setter, which I never would have thought. Like I would have always thought, go get a setter first.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of client success being the thing that gets dialed in first, because you guys will be able to retain the clients that you get and keep them forever, right?
Yeah.
And your marketing's good. So I don't think that a setter is really that needed until you have like overflow of leads, if that makes sense, right? I think client success managers should be in a business, unless there's a legitimate reason, like there's a huge overflow of lead flow and client success is a really low touch offer that gets great results anyway, like it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But for an offer like yours, like CS first for sure.
That's another thing that was unexpected. When I came into this, I was like, oh, okay, we're going to learn a Facebook group. Some basic like Facebook organic, some marketing, some stuff like that. Again, I was naive, right? I just really wanted 100,000. I didn't know how I was going to get there.
Right. And
y'all have given me, I mean, this is the first year that I'm ahead of schedule on my goals, and I'm months ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted 50 by end of July. So we're talking 2.5 months early. That's a quarter of the year early. Just I know what needs to happen. I know the KPIs, I know the actions, I know the things that I need to do to get to where I want. And there's that roadmap to get to 100. And then I think it's going to be very similar to get to 250. And
that's at this stage you're at, it's more of the same, like genuinely, right? Like it's more of the same. We get client success. It's ready dialed as is. We ramp lead flow up, put a setter in, put you in a position where he's doing great. You close those deals. Then possibly if we need to, a second setter or closer, and then you just go into full marketing mode and do nothing but that for the existence of time, which is a cool position to be in at the same time as well, right? And I guess now that you've been able to like look back the journey and not necessarily like possibly other clients of ours, but like now that you've seen what happens across the whole industry and all of this stuff as well, right? Like, where do you feel you see the industry making mistakes or struggling in general? And what sort of decisions do you think they need to be making to change their own situation at the same time too? Because like, I still suffer seeing people doing cold outbound and all these different things when they don't know how to actually have human communication-based conversations at the same time too. And it just makes things so much worse for them, right? But like, what do you see them struggling with in particular? And what would you be telling them to do that would change their own situation?
So I see a lot of people doing what I did. And it's just too many offers, too many niches, too many people, And I get it. Like, you don't know how to do this stuff. You don't know how to attract people. Like, I believed in one niche. Like, I believed that was wise. Just because I believed it doesn't mean I knew how to do it. And I needed to make money. And I didn't have anyone around me that was teaching me or talking about how to do it.
So does that mean you were taking people on that you shouldn't have? Is that kind of what you're suggesting?
Yeah. I mean, if I would have known this and still been doing that at the time, I didn't know how to do this. So I needed to eat. Like, I needed to cut it's a good thing. I cut my teeth. I learned learned what not to do, like have some good experiences, have some good relationships from it. So like, it's fine. But that's an issue that people have. They don't know how to monetize a market. Like, you niche down,
probably not for one offer anyway. You can monetize a market, but not like where I see most people struggle with it is that they will get, when they get someone on a call, what they typically tend to do is sell them what they can on the call as opposed to get someone on a call for what they already want to sell, which puts them in a position where they start selling things at different price points for different delivery. Mm-hmm. It just makes delivery a dumpster fire.
Right. And it's a lot of thinking. It's a lot of reacting on that call. Like, I know my price. I have one price point. Like, that's it. I have one thing. Like, you either want it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about the problems, and we'll continue to talk about the problems, and we'll continue to talk about the gaps and like where you want to be. And, you know, we'll offer link that solution. And if you want it, you want it. If not, you know, that's all right. But that's the second thing that I was thinking about with that question. People don't care about me. They don't care about my business. They don't care about, now to an extent they do once you have an audience, but as you're trying to build an audience, like talking about, whatever, I just crossed my first year in business or I had a whatever. I'm not talking to any isolated group of people when I don't have a Facebook audience. Now that I have 5,000 friends and a group of 5,000 friends that are real estate investors that I'm speaking to their problems every single day, they look to my stuff and they relate with me. So when I make that character post, 300 people like it, right? So there are people that does influence at that point. But at first, when I'm just talking about me, it's not going to get anywhere. And no one's going to, very, very, very few people are going to look at, oh, Zach has his knowledge of backlinks are so dialed in. Like, I'm going to hire him to do my SEO.
Like, okay. I see what you're saying. It's like, no one cares about how smart you are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're caring about the conversation they're having with their wife at night as to why they're not flipping as many deals as they'd like to be flipping.
They care about the rock in their shoe, like what's keeping them up at night, not how great Zach is and how great Zach's company is. And I used to think, and I see a lot of people that do think, I'm just going to talk about how my company is different than their company. There's a time and place for that, but most people are not at that place. And you got to get there before you start talking about that. And to get there, you have to talk about problems.
Totally. Totally. I couldn't agree more. One of the biggest things that I think one of the biggest shifts that we try to help people have is like the second you can start acting as if the way you communicate on in your marketing anyway is like having a camera that sort of sits in that person's room, right? And it's like, if you can see what they're doing on a daily basis and the way that you write your copy, the way that you write your offers literally makes them go, fuck, it feels like he's watching me. That's when they start going, okay, I should probably start listening to this thing, as opposed to them seeing your name and face scroll past their feed and they're like, another one. No, it's like, oh no, he knows what I'm doing.
When people, this is another moment that like shook me, when people started saying like, acting like I knew them, that is crazy. And I've heard you say that, like people are like, oh, like you're in my bedroom, like you've got a camera on the wall. I'm like, it's all the same. Like that psychology works across with anyone, any niche, any whatever. So like that was a big moment for me when people are like, I know you, like, you know me, I know you know me. I'm like, that makes selling. It's not selling anymore. Like you're just talking and you're problem solving.
Problem solving with people. That's it, right? Because that's the stage you want to get to at the end of the day, right? Which sort of leads me into, right, like I think for me, if I were to think about the type of information that I think people need to actually be grasping and doing something with, is like how to actually market problems more effectively is a huge one for me, right? Like that's probably, I did a podcast with someone yesterday and it was just like how to get people who actually have like a sales team to actually work with. And it's just like, you don't speak to the problem that the offer owner has. You speak to the problem that the sales team have, because the offer owner is, as a consequence of them not succeeding, they have to actually get the sales team in place or working effectively, which your leads need to be good enough for that, right? And I think like one of the biggest things people need to learn is like how to market the problem most effectively, which is like the core of offer linking, right? But what do you think people need to learn, like skill wise that would make a huge difference? Because you keep saying sales, but then you also say marketing, right? So like, what's the skill you think would be the biggest domino knockover for them?
The trademarked offer linking, however you present that. I mean, I said this earlier, but we're offer linking in all components of our business. So I'm doing it with our staff. I'm doing it with.
Could you give a description as to how you're using it in other parts of the business so someone might be able to understand that as well?
Yeah. So it's identifying a problem, seeing the gap and offering a solution. So with like my CSM, the problem, how do we retain people? Like, how do we help these people avoid people? How do we continue to add value? How do they not get bored? The solution is, we're still working on it, but the solution is solve problems before they ever get there. Future cast to what they want to be. That wasn't a great example. It makes a little sense in my head, but that's not a great example. I think
what you were saying is that if you can uncover what the main issues are that the client's experiencing, whatever it is, right? Like the way I use offer linking in delivery, right, is like, if you can find out what the future problems are going to be for that client and the landmines that you were talking about, and plant the seeds through that whole process, and then as the problem comes up, they've already decided they want to work with you on solving that problem as well, you can retain them for a much longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said.
Which is the same way we do it with team as well, right? Yeah. Like one of my favorite things to do with team members is like, well, no one, if they're going to come in and like take over a department of the business or whatever it is, right? Like they don't want to start and then that be the only role for the rest of their life. They want to start and then have a development path of some sort. And they want to see what that could possibly look like and what challenges and what skills they wanted to upgrade in the pathway of doing that. It's like, if you can make an offer to that person that links solutions to the problems they're experiencing while also future pacing what life could look like once we've solved all those things together. And then if you're really smart, show what the next stage of that would look like as well. You retain team, you retain clients, and your marketing will actually help you retain team and clients before they even start with you the second they do get started at the same time as well. So the whole idea is like linking the offer or the problems, existing, past, and future to the actual offer you make to someone as you start the journey with them at the same time too. Works with your girlfriend as well. I've always noticed that. Oh, good stuff, man. Is there anything else that you would or would like to share? Not about us, just about either what you've done, the journey, whatever it is, possibly about anything that you think someone in your position 7 months ago needs to hear in order for them to be able to become 50 to 100 grand a month like you're sort of projecting for now.
Literally the best money I've ever spent, like getting into the program. It changed my paradigm of business. Like it gave me a roadmap to get to that 100K. I heard something a while back. They were talking about accountability partners or whatever, right? And oftentimes people will grab the hand of somebody that's next to them. And the point was, that's stupid, because 50% of the people that are starting out won't be here in a year from now. So the odds are you're grabbing the hand of somebody that won't be here. So even if you are one that will be here, then you've just grabbed onto dead weight. That's stupid. I was on a lot of dead weight.
I don't know where you heard that, but that hurts me to hear.
Yeah. There's a lot of dead weight in my life. And y'all are multiple, many steps ahead of me. Like you're shining, your Ferris is on my back with a flashlight, just shining in front of me. And, you know, whispering into my ear, go left, go right. And I wouldn't have been here without that. Like I wouldn't be, I know there's no way I would be here. Like I would have probably been at 20,000 frustrated, still in fulfillment with good months and bad months. Talk about people's problems, solve those problems, like dial into one niche, one avatar. We've kind of been talking about it for the last few minutes, but like, that's what I would say to someone. And it sounds simple. There's a lot of moving parts to this that you have to learn and you have to master.
Why do you think people might not do it?
I mean, before I invested in you, I'd spent about 20,000 in coaching. I haven't gotten this. You have people that say we're going to do one-on-one coaching, and that one-on-one coaching quickly turns into, I don't have time. There's going to be 50 people on this Zoom call. That's not one-on-one coaching. Then that turns into a monologue, and then the teacher's pets get a couple words and it's not coaching. With this, like you have, what is it? Three spots right now. And there's, you know, the rumor mill says there's going to be a couple more coaching calls added in the next coming several months. So like just continuing to add more specific high quality people talking to specific things that I need to talk about. I need to talk about setting every single week. I need to talk about CSM every single week. I need to talk about sales every single week because I have to stay sharp for my team. I have to be able to get them to where they need to be and to help them to get to where they want to go and to be able to surround myself with people that are like-minded, that have been where I am, know where I'm going, have been there, and want to help me get to where I want to be. That's just invaluable. I was joking with you the first couple months we were in. I was like, dog, I would have paid you 50 grand for this.
I kept asking for the invoice to get paid, but you never did it.
Before we're said and done, you might have 50 grand from me. So who knows?
Probably. But that's not what I care about. As long as if you were to do that, that made you fix all the problems in the world, and that's all that matters to me. Dude, thank you for coming to spend the time to help people understand what possible skills they might be missing that are stopping them from doing things, right? If I could distill it down into a few, it kind of sounds like the big rocks sounded like marketing problems because it makes sales a significant amount easier. Marketing future-paced problems, which makes delivery a shitload easier at the same time too. And then making sure that you actually have the customer journey to make sure that your internal team players actually have an unbelievably strong process to follow to actually get your client results at the same time as well. They're like probably the three biggest things that I think I'm taking away from this that make a huge difference. Thank you for coming to spend some time with us. Is there anything else you want to leave words-wise for anyone? Words of wisdom, whatever it is, and not about us, just about them or yourself.
Never settle.
No. Thank you so much, dude. For anyone who is watching this and they want to possibly reach out and see what you're doing as well, I will drop your details, just the link to your Facebook profile, whatever it is, to the actual group as well. If you guys want to go out and check out the type of marketing he does or the way he does the problem marketing as well, might be really useful to see some examples of that at the same time too. But other than that, dude, thank you so much for coming to hang out. And for anyone watching, hope you enjoyed it. Thanks so much, guys. Catch you later. Peace.
See y'all.